So over the last several weeks, we've been talking about, the armor of God and how this is sort of a way of preparation into this next season of the calendar year. There's something about this season of the holidays that just makes everything come into more vivid focus, good or bad, right? Like, we're just hyper aware of the things that bother us or that bother us from our families or from our consumeristic culture or whatever, you know, it just all gets elevated. And so we take a moment before the holidays every year to try to center ourselves on some true things that we can carry with us into that season. Okay, it's true all year round, right? It's just, now's the time to be, now, it's intensified. And so, like, let's focus in again on some few things that can really help us navigate the coming months gracefully. Thanks. Anjanette's with me today. Anjanette is here for it. All right. Anybody in here play the piano other than Heather? Got any pianists in here? So if you don't play the piano, that's okay. There are 88 keys on the piano. 50-something of them are white, and do the math, the other ones are black, okay? So there's 88 keys on there, and there's one key on the piano that's called middle C. Middle C is one of the first things that you're taught when you sit down to learn how to play the piano. If you have a decent if you even have kind of like a not so good teacher, they should know middle C, right? Now, when you're a little kid, you put both of your thumbs on middle C, and then you learn the notes that are just above that and the notes that are just below that, middle C, all right? I started taking piano lessons when I was 6 years old from the same woman, Miss Scott. She was tough. Miss Scott, who taught my mom. Okay, my mom started taking piano lessons. Yeah, it sounds special, doesn't it? It was Miss Scott. It didn't last. It did not last. It lasted a handful of years. Anyway, so I had started taking lessons from Miss Scott. And here's what you need to know about my mom. My mom took lessons from Miss Scott, but she kept taking lessons all the way through middle school, high school. I did that too, but she kept going. She took lessons into college. She was a piano performance major for a couple of years. My mom is so good at the piano that you can put a set, like you can put sheet music in front of her. That's that white piece of paper that's got all these black dots on it that somehow communicate where to put your fingers on the keys. You can put sheet music in front of my mom that she's never seen before. She can play it flawlessly, no bobbles. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. My mom is just very gifted. Yeah, like I grew up in a house where just music was being played beautifully all the time on piano. So I've had a couple of lessons with Miss Scott, 6 years old. And I come home and I'm practicing the piano and I'm like, Mom, I'm in the piano room because we had one of those. It was just the room for the piano. I'm in the piano room and I'm like, Mom, this isn't sounding right. And so she comes in here and she says, well, play it again for me. And so I play it. And she goes, well, baby, that's because your thumbs are not on middle C. And I said, yes, they are. And she said, no, they're not. And if you had to guess between my mom and six-year-old me, who's right about that, it's pretty obvious who's right. Okay, but here's the card I played. Well, Miss Scott said that that's not middle C. Okay, well, I just want to show you something on the keyboard here. The key that's in yellow, that's C. This is the key that I was starting on. Do you see how similar they look, though? Look at that. Look at how it's the same shape and everything. That's the F key. Yeah. So, anyway, the point is that things we're talking about today, they're middle C kind of things. Not up for debate. They're just true. Now, that might make you feel uncomfortable, but instead of talking about truth and going into this existential crisis altogether in the room, I want to talk about one specific thing that's true to carry with you into the holidays, okay? Middle C kind of truth. So last week, Joy told us that the goal of putting on all this armor, it's not to be aggressive. It's not even to be defensive. It's just to stay put, right? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, pick a day, that's the day of evil, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand firm then. Stand. The goal is to just keep standing. So let's talk about what stand is. Aw. You know what? We've switched over to Google, Doc, Drive, whatever. I'm a PowerPoint kid. But apparently Google is like the new, like, updated version of all that. So none of my slides are animated. That's fine. All right. So, to stand. You can go ahead and read ahead if you want to. I was going to do one at a time. But to stand. To stand. To maintain one's position. Just stand. To endure or undergo successfully. Like, this book will stand the test of time. To tolerate without flinching. To bear courageously. Like, to stand pain well. Or to remain firm in the face of, like, to stand a siege. So, like I said, it's not aggressive, nor is it defensive. It's just standing still. It reminded me of this verse. Be still. How can you manage that? There's so many things that want to push you off of your footing. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Where we are today is in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, this book falls into two halves. The first half is all about what is this good news of reconciliation that God has given to us? Meaning, like, how is God making peace with us? How is God bringing peace into the world? And then the latter half of the book is, how do we live like that? Right? How do we live as though that's true? So, what Paul is saying is, well, stand firm then. This is the first part. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's how the New International Version translates it. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And you should probably be happy that that's how the NIV does that to you, for you. Because in other versions, like the NASB, it says, gird your loins. So this probably makes more sense, right? Because you're like, I don't even know where to start with that phrase. Any one of those words. All right? Gird them. Gird your loins. So the Greek verb translated here, buckled around your waist, it's used 6 times in the New Testament, but it's always translated dressed. Get dressed. And often it's translated dressed in readiness. But really, the better translation is gird yourself. Gird yourself. That is the gift I'm giving to you as you walk into the holiday season. I like that it kind of sounds like guard, but gird. Gird yourself. Yeah. Gird means, thank you, Anjanette. She's not a plant, just so you know. Let's see. What's that say beneath there? Okay, note to self, don't use the black font in the future. To prepare yourself for action. To be dressed in readiness. This is what the word gird means. To prepare for action, to be dressed in readiness. This is not casual. This is intentional. Have you ever left the house to run errands and you look down at yourself and think, I can't believe I went out of the house like this? Thank you. Have you ever had that moment? You're like, oh, geez. Should have tried a little harder to get dressed today. It's just too casual. If you think about a firefighter, you think about a football player, if a firefighter's walking into a firefight, you can bet they're dressed head to toe in exactly what they need to be in for that situation, right? If you think about a football player, you'd never dream of sending a football player onto a field without his helmet on, his pads, all of that stuff, right? That's dangerous. It's stupid. Sorry. Strong words. But, like, you would never do that, right? You wouldn't leave the house naked, either. Put something on. Right? Just anything will do, that's fine. Anything will do. But what we're talking about today is like some essential things. Essential. What are the essentials? The things that allow you to be ready for action. So we should get dressed on purpose. You're getting dressed in this stuff. You're getting clothed in it. These are the words that Paul uses. He says, put these things on like your outfit. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the Spirit. Those are the ones that we're going to go through in the next weeks. But we're starting with truth today. These are the things we're going to put on. These are the things we're going to put on. We're going to try to put on every single day. Now, Paul didn't choose this stuff just randomly. right? He actually is borrowing some of this language from an old idea. So Paul was a Jew. He was culturally and religiously Jewish. And so he was very well aware of the scriptures of his people. This was called the Hebrew Bible, Torah, the law, the prophets, right? One of those prophets was a man named Isaiah, and he wrote around 700 BC. That's 700 years. What was going on in the world 700 years ago? You don't know. You don't even know what's going on 700. Well, the Renaissance is going on. Anyway, 700 years ago, 700 years before Jesus. I just got to calm down a little bit. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah is talking about this coming rescuer. Here's who we're looking for. And he writes a description of this person that we're looking for. And this is how he says it. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. That means that this is a descendant of David. That's a different way of saying that. That's King David's line. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, nor decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is the reference. So like if you have one of those Bibles that like helps you know, hey, this is from somewhere else, they put it like in small caps or something, gird your loins, this is that parallel, right? So Paul is saying, think back, for a Jewish listener, they would have gone, oh, that sounds like that other gird your loins passage about the rescuer, about the one who was coming. And at this point in the stage of the game, they know that person is Jesus, or they've decided that person is Jesus. They've come to believe that, right? So Paul is asking us to reflect the character of this rescuer in our own living. Be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us. The first step in this imitation of that God is to get dressed in truth. To get dressed in truth. The way that it's written in this Isaiah passage is the Spirit of the knowledge of the Lord. That's truth. Knowledge of the Lord is another way of describing truth. So we can get way off in the weeds about truth. This word, what it represents, has become difficult to pin down. It's hard to define. You know, your truth, my truth, their truth, whatever. Like, what the heck? What does that even mean anymore? It's become something different, right? This word is being used in a way that it's like it has a different definition now, almost. Like, your ideas, my ideas, their ideas, right? As though there's not some few things that are certain, right? That we can, like, stake our lives on. It reminds me of the way that Pilate responds to Jesus. Okay, if you're unaware of Bible stuff, that's fine. Let me tell you about Pilate really quick. Not Pilate like, I'm in a plane, Pilate. Pilate with an A and an E at the end. And I'm like, not the flying kind, the Roman I can kill you kind. Okay, that one. So that Pilate has like the power to either say, you're going to live or you're going to die to Jesus. And he's having a conversation. He's having an aside with Jesus where he says, so you're a king? Jesus says, you're saying I'm a king. For this purpose, I was born. And for this purpose, I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And what does Pilate say? What is truth? Oh, that's 2,000 years ago, y'all. What even is truth? There are seasons in our life when we might find ourselves saying, I don't even know what's true anymore. Right? I had a friend one time whose life temporarily imploded. And she said, memorably, How can I know what is good and right in the dumpster fire that is my life? And we laughed at the moment, right? But it was true. Her life had turned into a dumpster fire. Okay, there were some things going on, decisions that she had made, decisions that other people had made. It was a dumpster fire. And she was left asking this question, how do I even know what is good and right? And we loved it so much that Joy cross-stitched it, and it's in our house now. And I wanted to put it in a really prominent place. And she also cross-stitched one for that friend, whose life is now no longer a dumpster fire. But have you ever had a season, haven't you had moments like that where all of a sudden you know, like it's, somebody has lit a match, there's gasoline all over this thing, it is actively burning. And moments like that cause you to ask this question, how do I even know what is good? How do I even know what is right? In other words, how do I know what's true right now? Right? How do I even know what's true? It would be so great that if in like difficult seasons of our life like that, difficult, you know, seasons like this, like the holidays, it may be hard for you to traverse for one reason or another. It'd be really great if you're feeling lost, if you could have a map. Freddie, can you get the door for Ambrose, please? Or Heather. It'd be really great if you had a map. Now, last year, I taught you about the Tiberius cotton map. How many of you are here for this? Perfect! None of you are here! This is going to be a new illustration for everyone in the room? Beautiful. How exciting. Also, come to church. All right. So, welcome to the family. One of those. It's either those. It's either like, where were you? Or, hey, glad you're here. Okay, so the Tiberius cotton map was created in 995. That was my teeth. 995. I did. 995 A.D. This is their concept of the known world at that time. That's it. That's all they had. This little map, Tiberius cotton map. Now, the reason that this map is significant to me personally. Anjanette, you were here for this. Yeah, you were. Oh, you did? You just kind of, okay. Yeah, you didn't want to be called on. You're like, I don't know anything about that. I have no idea. Yeah, I can't be called upon to remember any of that right now. So, that's fine. So, the Tiberius cotton map, on the edge of that map, in Latin, it says, Hic sunt draconis. Yeah, oh, that's a familiar. Okay, Hic sunt draconis. Do you remember what it means? Something about dragons. Here the dragons. Here be dragons. And you know where they wrote it? On the edges of the map. Out there, we don't know what's going on out there. That's where the dragons are. The unknown is fearsome to us, right? And we can apply that to any part of our lives. We can say, like, this one little part, I don't know what's coming. That other little part, I don't know what's coming. My health, my family, my kids, my whatever, fill in the blank. I don't know what's out there. And we could write on our lives, there are dragons out there. Right? We could decide there are dragons out there. No. So last year, what I ended up saying is, yeah, hic sunt draconis, but, and then I learned a little bit of Latin, etiam Deus. Hey! That means, and also God. Yeah, there are dragons out there. But there's also God. Okay, now, here's why I know you were there. Because after church that day, and let me tell you why I was talking about that day. I was in the middle of that. I had some really big things going on with the little girl that's in our life, not knowing about what was going to happen to her future, right? Dragon out there. Definitely a dragon out there. And Anjanette came in and she said, oh, I found this in the nursery. I had never seen this thing. I've never, ever seen that thing in the nursery. And she gave that to me, and I said, well, that doesn't look so scary. That little dragon, he's not so scary. He's out. He may be out there. He may be out there. But he's not the only thing out there. God is also out there. Right? That mental image of her just like chewing on the dragon's head, I've carried that with me for a long time. So I decided to cross-stitch too. This is a year in the making. You don't want to take up cross stitch. It takes forever. But this has been my slow project, my slow reminder. God is there too. You know, there's so much about our futures that are uncertain. Just pick a thing. You know, there's stuff that we do not have control over. That is true. And there may be things out there that are painful. They're scary. We know there are things out there that are painful and scary. We're very aware of that truth, right? But the thing is that God is there too. So the part I'm working on, you can see I did the dragon first because I thought he was cute. And then, but down here at the bottom, I started a sun. And over the next, I don't know, year or two, I'm going to get all the rays of that sun to just cover up that whole thing to remind me, yeah, the dragon might be there, but God is there too. I'm using the sun as the representation of God, right? So the truth that I want you to remember is that God is your refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Do you see where it's from? Psalm 46. What was that other one from at the very, very beginning? Psalm 46. And that was, so I didn't do that on purpose. It just had, the one had come to mind and the other one came to mind. I was like, oh, those are bookends? Do you remember the first one that I told you about? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. So I want to read this whole psalm to you, all of Psalm 46. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the whole habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He turns the chariots. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Gird yourself in this truth. The season that we're moving to is this God with us season, right? This little baby, Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. We've come full circle. We're standing in the truth that God is present with you. Stand still in the truth that God is your refuge and your strength. You do not have to be afraid. Because you are not alone. You will never be alone. This is the one truth I want to give to you, to carry with you. Get dressed in it. Be still and know it.